Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's J-Talk Extra Time, hosted by myself, Stuart Smith. Later on, we'll hear the dulcet tones of Mr. Mike Innes in the J3 Short Corner, and trust me, it's getting buck wild in the third tier. But stay with me as I guide you through the trials and tribulations of round 39 of J2. Before we get into the games themselves, some managerial news of note. Mito Hollyhock manager Tadahiro Akiba will once again be at the helm for the club in 2022. The announcement came on Tuesday, Japan time, and I'm sure some other clubs were casting envious eyes his way after doing such a sterling job in developing players at Mito, and I'm sure he'll be able to choose some more promising youngsters to build his team around next year. Good news all round. Now for the football, and we'll start at the top of J2, where congratulations are in order for Jubilo Iwata as they secure promotion to J1 after a 3-1 win at Mito Hollyhock. First half goals from defender Kentaro Oi and Kotaro Omori gave the visitors the cushion they desired, and things were sealed when Brazilian forward Lukian notched his 22nd goal of the year, a fine finish after a fine through ball. Mito did get one back, but they weren't going to spoil the promotion party. The win was Jubilo's 16th consecutive game unbeaten, and they are well worthy of promotion. As an addition to this story, Jubilo are expected to retain the services of veteran midfielder Yasuhito Endo for next season. He's currently on loan from Gamba Osaka, and while the details of his extension are yet to be finalised, the deal seems pretty close to being done. Jubilo's next task will be to seal the J2 crown ahead of presumed fellow promotees Kyoto Sanga. Sanga themselves saw off Blaublitz Akita at Sanga Stadium to move 7 points clear of Nagasaki with just 9 points left to play for. Peter Utaka scored twice, of course he did, and Takumi Miyayoshi grabbed another to see Choki J's side to victory, although Hayate Take's equaliser had threatened to make life interesting in front of Kyoto's biggest home crowd of the season. 9,900 spectators were there to see the side edge closer to promotion. Viva in Nagasaki and Vanfori Corfu still have mathematical chances of promotion, but they'll need an epic collapse from Kyoto to see it happen. Nagasaki cruised to a 3-0 win at home against Tochigi SC on the day it was announced that veteran forward Keiji Tamada will be hanging up his boots at the end of a long and storied J-League career. First half strikes from Egawa and a Wellington Pato penalty had Nagasaki on easy street, and then Ken Tokura popped up himself with a penalty in the second half to add a third. Corfu, meanwhile, were involved in arguably the game of the year in J2 as they dealt a crushing, but important to note, non-lethal blow to Matsumoto Yamaga's survival hopes, running out 3-2 winners in an epic encounter. Corfu was seemingly headed towards a routine 1-0 victory as William Lira's goal had them in front as the clock hit 80 minutes, but that is where the story of this game begins. In the 80th minute, Matsumoto Yamaga forward Sho Ito bundled in from very close range to bring the visitors level and in sight of a precious point in their survival bid, but no less than 60 seconds later, Corfu's excellent wingback Masahiro Sekiguchi put the hosts back in front. That lead was short-lived, however, as just 2 minutes later, Toyofumi Sakano's glancing header brought parity to the scores and restored hope for beleaguered Yamaga boss Hiroshi Nanami. However, that hope was definitively extinguished a minute later when some awful ball-watching in the Matsumoto defence allowed Niki Urakami to steal in and give Corfu the 3 points. Truly gut-wrenching for Matsumoto Yamaga, who stayed bottom of the table. Elsewhere at the bottom of the table, Ehime FC and Sagamihara both sit in the relegation zone, 2 points above Matsumoto, but both teams suffered defeats last weekend. Ehime were turned over 2-0 away at Albrecht's Niigata, Koji Suzuki's 91st minute penalty sealing things for the home side, while Sagamihara suffered a 3-2 home defeat against a Fajiano Okayama side that has quietly only lost one of its last 16 outings and is actually in really good form. Sagamihara took the lead twice in this game, but goals from Hideki Ishige and Lee Yong-jae, welcome back you, pegged the host back before Satoki Uejo arrowed the visitors into a lead they wouldn't surrender. Girovan's Kita Kyushu claimed a crucial win in their quest for survival as captain Daigo Takahashi's 10th goal of the year, a superb powerful shot which zipped past Renofa's goalkeeper, sealed a 1-0 win at Renofa Yamaguchi. It was a much needed win for Shinji Kobayashi's side. Indeed, it was their first win in 10 games and it leapfrogged them into 19th and within 2 points of safety. Suigen Kanazawa are looking increasingly perilous in 18th place after they suffered a demoralizing 4-0 home defeat against mid-table Tokyo Verdy. Two goals each for Ryota Kajikawa and the excellent Ryoga Sato, his 10th and 11th goals of the season, made for a pleasant afternoon for Verdy and an afternoon that leaves Kanazawa with much to ponder ahead of their relegation run-in. Omiya Ardija still find themselves in the thick of the relegation mess after they conceded a late equaliser at Montedio Yamagata. Atsushi Kawata gave Omiya the lead with a superlative 35-yard strike early on, only for Montedio defender Yuta Kumamoto to head the host's level. Seiya Nakano's 35th-minute goal looks set to give Omiya a vital 3 points, but substitute Ryonosuke Kabayama's gorgeous back heel finish means that Ardija are still sweating it at the bottom. Zaspa Kazatsugunma claimed a valuable point from their trip to Machida Zelvia, with defender Hirota Hirao's equaliser cancelling out an Aria Jaisuru Hasegawa well-taken opener. Finally, in the rain-swept climes of Okinawa, FC Ryukyu secured a late point as Takashi Kanai's equaliser earned them a share of the spoils in a 2-2 draw with Jeff United Chiba, Chiba's 10th game undefeated. Koki Kiyotaki had given the hosts a lead, only for goals from Takaki Fukumitsu and Isao Takahashi to put the visitors in control before Kanai's late intervention. On to the table. So, at the top, Jubilo Iwata, assured of promotion, sit on 86 points, 5 points clear of Kyoto Sanga on 81 points. Viva and Nagasaki are on 74, with Vanfori Kofu on 73, meaning that should Kyoto win at Okayama on Saturday, they will be going up to J1 next year. At the foot of the table, it is desperation time for Matsumoto Yamaga, who sit on 32 points, with Ehime and Sagamihara on 34, and Kita Kyushu on 35, who round out the bottom four. Then we have Suigen Kanazawa on 37, Omiya Ardija on 38, and Gunma and Tochigi on 39. Renofa Yamaguchi are on 41 points, but they would need a lot to go against them to find themselves in the relegation zone. Now, a look ahead to the all-important fixtures this weekend, and we have an all-out relegation battle in Ehime, where Sagamihara are the visitors. Realistically, if either team loses, they'll find themselves almost relegated. It is that important there. Matsumoto, Yamaga need wins. Nothing else will do, quite frankly. And that quest starts at home against Renofa Yamaguchi. If they lose, they will almost certainly be destined to finish in the bottom four. Girovan's Kita Kyushu have a very difficult looking assignment as they make the long trip to play Jeff United, while Omiya Ardija can take a huge stride towards safety if they beat Mito Hollyhock at the NAC 5. I doubt it is going to be very pretty when Suigen Kanazawa travel to Chochigi, but quite honestly, only the results matter now. And Gunma welcome Albirex's Niigata to town. At the top of the table, Jubilo host Viva and Nagasaki. I've already mentioned that Kyoto Sanga travelled to Fajiano Okayama, while Vanfori Kofu travelled to Blau Blitz Akita. Finally, the game between Tokyo Verdy and FC Ryukyu may seem like a bland end of season affair, but anyone who watched the same fixture last year knows that there is a whole other side to this fixture. One that neither side wants to lose. If you want to know more about that, hit me up on Twitter and I'll be more than happy to go through that with you. Phew. Well, that's it from me. But stay tuned for all the J3 news with Mike Innes. Finally, I'd just like to say thank you to all the Patreons who help support this podcast, and indeed to everybody that listens and gives us all the good feedback. I'm sure I speak for John and Mike giving those thoughts. Thank you very much to everyone who helps support this podcast. Please enjoy the football coming this week and stay tuned, because here comes the J3 Short Corner.
J-Talk Extra Time. Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode I'll be looking back on the weekend games in Round 27 and previewing fixtures coming up in Round 28 of the J3 season. Straight into the action this week, and all seven of the round's 27 matches were played on Sunday the 14th of November. And Tegevajaro Miyazaki went top of the table for the first time following their thriller at home to FC Gifu, who now need a miracle to have a chance of playing J2 football next year. Miyazaki fell behind in the 20th minute, captain Kenji Dai making an uncharacteristic blunder by playing the ball across the face of goal straight to Shota Kawanishi, who toyed with the home defence before slotting in from close range for his 13th of the season. The home side pulled level for the first time in stoppage time at the end of the first half through Ryosuke Maeda's neat but hardly unstoppable free kick, by which Takuya Matsumoto in the Gifu goal seemed nevertheless bamboozled. 4 minutes after the restart, the visitors regained the advantage, Wataru Hashimoto's cross being cleverly flicked on by Kawanishi for Ryo Kubota to head past Kenta Ishii. Shortly afterwards, however, began a 15-minute spell which sent the J-League new boys to the top of the division and all but ended Gifu's season. Maeda equalised for the second time, a 20-yard screamer right in front of the home faithful after Kaito Umeda had headed down a cross from Ko Watahiki. And with the Gifu backline suddenly looking very fragile, Miyazaki went ahead when Yudai Tokunaga hammered in a low cross and Ryo Watanabe got in front of Kubota to finish. The visitors on 68 minutes seemed to sleepwalk into conceding a fourth, not setting up to defend a quick throw-in, and from Tokunaga's blocked shot, it was Umeda who drove the ball in on the half-volley from 12 yards. Takumi Fujitani pulled one back in stoppage time via a header from a corner, but the game ended Miyazaki 4, Gifu 3, an extraordinary 7th win in 9 games for Nariyuki Naito's trailblazing Tegevajaro, a 9th loss of the season for Takayoshi Anma's Gifu. And Roasso Kumamoto dropped to second place as they continued their recent unconvincing form, letting slip a 2-goal lead to draw with Katare Toyama, who are now 6 points off the pace with 3 to play. Things were looking pretty rosy for Kumamoto in only the 5th minute when, after good work by Toshiki Takahashi and Tomotaka Okamoto, Shuhei Kamimura found space in the corner of the area to send a peach of a shot into the top left-hand corner. And the home side doubled their lead in the closing seconds of the first half when Sou Kawahana's long-range effort flicked off Hiroya Sueki and hit the top of the crossbar. As it bounced down, defender Issei Tone was more concerned with shoving Kamimura into the back of the net than clearing the ball, which duly rebounded off Tone and over the line for an own goal. And so at the break, Kumamoto was set for the win, Toyama looking at another season in J3. 17 minutes into the second period, though, Qatar sub Jorge Ono was through on goal and brought down by Shuichi Sakai. Ono converted the spot kick for 2-1, and suddenly Roasso were on the ropes. Shoma Otoizumi missing a golden chance for an equaliser only 2 minutes later. Yuya Sato saving point blank from Ono, who then, with 11 minutes remaining, picked up an extremely ill-advised back pass by Shun Ito, rounded the exposed Sato and finished confidently. Kumamoto twice almost snatched it back at the death, substitute Kaito Abe's header pulling a brilliant save out of Yohei Nishibe, then a Masahiro Sugata header hitting the bar, but the game ended Kumamoto 2, Toyama 2. Three draws and a defeat in the last four matches for a Roasso side who, a month ago, looked odds-on to be heading back to J2. Qatare, meanwhile, have only this single point to show for their last four games, and their hopes of promotion hang by a thread as a consequence. Separating the two teams in the standings and breathing down Kumamoto's necks are Iwate Gurugia Morioka, who at the Mitsuzawa Park Athletics Stadium brought an end to YSCC Yokohama's long unbeaten run. After Yuki Shikama had had a shot blocked on the line, it was his Iwate teammate and captain Yusuke Muta who opened the scoring in the 31st minute, heading in at the far post a vicious in-swinging corner by Taisuke Nakamura. Brenner hit the post soon afterwards, but the game took a dramatic, if error-strewn, twist in added time at the end of the first half. YSCC levelled the score through Kei Munechika, who seemed to distract young Iwate keeper Taishi Brandon Nozawa after Kei Oshiro had directed Ryotaro Yamamoto's corner towards goal. But with the clock ticking into the 50th minute of the half, Taisuke Nakamura sent a free kick into the YSCC box, Muta got in a header, Ryosuke Sagawa let a comfortable save slip from his hands, and Masashi Wada poked it over the line. Within 20 seconds of the start of the second period, Wada added another one, receiving the pass from Shunji Masada and finishing from 10 yards, the YSCC defence appearing still to be back in the dressing room. Wada later had the chance for a hat-trick, only for his one-on-one to be blocked by Sagawa, and Nozawa tipped a Umemi Kanda free-kick over the bar in the last action of the game, as Gurugia held out for the win with a final score of YSCC 1, Iwate 3. A first loss in 10 for Yuki Stauff's team, now 7 without defeat for Yutaka Akita and Iwate. FC Imabari pulled off the most eye-catching results in the other games, continuing their recent improvement with a 3-0 win at Kagoshima United. It was a 30-yard pile driver from Keishi Kusumi that put Imabari ahead inside the first minute, perfectly struck following a setup by Hayate Komatsu. Both sides then had their chances, but Imabari extended their lead inside the first minute after the break, Komatsu laying it off this time for Toshiki Toya to fire in a low shot from inside the D. In the 50th minute it was 3-0, a counter-attack catching Kagoshima unawares as Toya fed Wataru Harada, whose shot seemed to go through homekeeper Shogo Onishi. 10 points from the last four games for Imabari, their best run of the season. Kagoshima's three-match unbeaten run comes to an end. Fujieda My FC managed a rare clean sheet, beating Vanrari Hachinohe 2-0 at the Fujieda Sports Park. The visitors Teppe Chikaish pulled a brilliant save out of Takuma Narahashi early on with a long-range shot, and both teams hit the woodwork before My FC found the net with 15 minutes to go. Yuki Oshitani finishing well from a cross by substitute Shohei Kawakami. And within a couple of minutes, the unmarked Tsugutoshi Oishi had buried a volley to wrap up the scoring. Fujieda remain in lower mid-table. Hachinohe drop into the bottom four for the first time. A goal by Tokach deep into injury time rescued a point for Fukushima United in their game at J Village against AC Nagano Paseiro. Fukushima almost took the lead half an hour in when a dipping volley by Hiroto Yukie beat Kengo Tanaka but crashed against the bar. But it was Paseiro who broke the deadlock in the 53rd minute, a Hiroyuki Tsubokawa corner being flicked on at the near post by Ryuhei Yamamoto for Tsubasa Sano to head powerfully past Kaito Yamamoto. Fukushima coach Yu Tokisaki quickly responded by throwing on Tokach, and in the fourth minute of additional time, the substitute picked up a through ball by Hiroki Higuchi and fired low inside the far post from just inside the box. Final score, Fukushima 1, Nagano 1. Only one win in nine now for Fukushima. Signs of late season stability for Paseiro under caretaker Hideo Yoshizawa. At the foot of the table, Azul Claro Numazu emerged triumphant in their game against fellow strugglers Gainare Tottori, who awarded a club debut to former Azul Claro defender Tomoki Taniguchi. Tottori keeper Koshiro Itohara was called into action in the 16th minute, tipping onto the post a shot from Junya Takahashi, but Takahashi opened the scoring seconds later, sneaking in at the far post to convert a cross from Kosei Uryu. A dominant first half display by Numazu ended with a further goal in stoppage time, Tomoki Fujisaki heading home a curling Takumi Hama free kick, the second week in a row that combination of players has found the net. Tottori showed a bit more after the break and eventually pulled one back with 15 minutes left. Substitute Takeru Kiyonaga pouncing on a loose ball and shooting from the edge of the area past Masataka Nomura, who perhaps could have done more to keep it out. Final score, Numazu 2, Tottori 1. A first win in six for Masataka Imai's team. Gainare struggling once again to keep a clean sheet no matter what changes are made by Kim Jong-song. The team with a bye in round 27 were Kamatamare Sanuki. So now to run through the top and bottom of the current league standings. Miyazaki move up into first place with 50 points from 26 games. Kumamoto drop to second with 48 from 25. Just outside the promotion spots, Iwate have 46 from 25, and slipping back off the pace in fourth are Toyama with 42 from 25. It's not a certainty, but it's looking like a pair from Miyazaki, Kumamoto and Iwate will occupy the top two places at the end of the season. A reminder that while Kumamoto and Iwate are eligible for promotion, Miyazaki are not and therefore will remain in J3 2022. At the other end of the table, falling to 12th with 26 points from 25 games are Hachinohe, then Numazu have 25 from 26, Sanuki and Tottori both 20 from 25. Just time now to take a quick look ahead to the matches coming up in round 28, when one fixture will be played on Saturday the 20th of November and the other six on Sunday the 21st. The Saturday game has the prospect of goals as Fujieda take on Kagoshima. Then on Sunday, the three crucial matches at the top of the standings are Miyazaki's mouth-watering trip to fourth-placed Toyama, who need points and need them now. Kumamoto's tricky home clash with YSCC and Iwate's must-win encounter at home to Sanuki. Elsewhere, Gifu make the trip to Hachinohe, Nagano host Numazu, and Imabari have the chance to put more distance between themselves and the foot of the table at Tottori. The team with a bye in round 28 are Fukushima. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.